I want to take you back to last Friday. I had a text message come in from an old mate, an outstanding medical specialist called Dr. Ian Nicholson, who was in PNG, as he does regularly with his colleagues, going to all parts of the world during their holidays, operating on small children with heart defects and basically saving them lives and giving those children the gift of life. So he happened to know that Canterbury and Cronulla were in town and said, would it be possible at short notice to get some of the boys from the teams to come and see the kids and the staff in the hospital? We made a phone call to Rob Willis at Cronulla. Johnny Morris said, Beauty will be there. Made a phone call to Andrew Hill and Dean Pay at the Bulldogs. They were there. And it went off swimmingly. But I have spoken to this fella before. He's a champion, not just because he's one of Australia's leading medical professionals, because he does this incredible work with his colleagues when he goes to poorer nations and changes the lives of his patients. Dr. Ian Nicholson, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Ray. How are you?
All right, mate. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it.
Oh, it's for my own mental health, Ray, mostly. I think it's nice to do the surgery with dedicated people at the Operation Open Heart. Open Heart International is our organisation. Mm. Changed names many years ago, but we go to many countries, many specialists, not just myself. I'm well represented, there's no doubt, but it's remarkable at short notice what you organised on Friday. That was amazing. For people with so little, it meant so much, honestly.
Beautiful.
And those guys, they get a lot of bad press, there's no doubt, but I'm telling you, they were humble and interested and even teared up. You know, it was amazing. To watch Josh Dugan's feed a child peanut butter on a spoon was amazing. Mm. You know, so, yeah.
Listen, last time we had a yarn, I think you were somewhere in Africa, and we spoke about, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you basically take theatres with you, and I think Alan Joyce and Qantas had helped you out in regards to that, to get the theatres there. But how many people accompany you, medical specialists, trained specialists, to go and do these operations? How many people do you take?
We take up to 40 people to set up a whole functioning hospital. Mm. So we'll take nurses, anaesthetists, technicians to run the machine. We even take a plumber and an electrician to fix all the wiring. They're very important people. And obviously a surgeon and other specialists to get the work done. But in New Guinea, they've started doing it. So we've spent 27 years doing a Band-Aid type approach, and then in the recent years training them, and they're starting to do things independently. As you may have heard on Friday, a number of the surgeons did things for the first time.
Yeah, I got the word back from the boys that, and that was quite remarkable. I mean, you must just be, bursting with pride that you go there and all of a sudden the locals are doing and performing the surgery that you've trained them to do. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it just needs momentum. We just need to go more often, and that's expensive. But I'm hopefully planning to go for a long weekend in late April, just for 3 days, to do some adults with them as well. And then we're going to do some smaller trips this year, hopefully, and the two bigger trips that we do every year as well, like that was just on recently.
I think before when we spoke, you'd been to Fiji. I'm pretty sure I got a text from Fiji.
Yep, so that's right. Yep.
Is it mainly Pacific Islands and then you throw the others into the equation as well?
Yeah, Pacific are our neighbours. That's the most important aspect of what we do. But we still go to Africa. We go to Tanzania. And we were in Rwanda, and we trained a surgeon there, or helped train one, and he's now operating independently in Tanzania, and a number of my colleagues still visit there to mentor him. Mm. And I've been to Bolivia recently, in recent years as well, just to help them. We'd take a smaller team. So when they're doing the surgery or they're starting out, we can take a much smaller team if we don't have to take all the equipment. It's just expensive is the problem.
Mm. Well, what happens, just say you don't go to New Guinea or you don't go to Bolivia, or don't go to Fiji, don't train. What happens to the kids that you are now operating on? Is it fairly grim what we're looking at for these children?
Yeah. So it's the same rate as Australia. In New South Wales, we draw on about 7 million, 8 million people maybe, something like that. We have about 500 cases a year. Mm. And the population up there is bigger than that. There's a lot of death of babies. The neonatal death rate is not good there. It's improving. But they'd have 500 cases that would need done a year as well, and we managed to do a handful. So we may have done close to 2,000 over the last 20-odd years, but most of those children would have a very short life, unfortunately. And it's no fault of their own. It's 1% of every birth. 1% of live births have a cardiac defect. So that's the same all over the world.
No government assistance at Operation Open Heart. It's through benefactors and the generosity of you and specialist theatre nurses, plumbers, electricians that just give their time up
freely. Everybody gives their time. I mean, we do get some money from DFAT and you know, or what was AusAid. There are grants given to us. And what we do is expensive and it's high-end surgery, but the money goes a lot further with other health programs, there's no doubt. But there's a lot of spin-offs in what we do for teaching people how to manage intensively unwell patients. And so not just cardiac surgery, they learn a lot of other skills by having that there.
Okay. Well, you are a miracle worker. I remember you looking after me 8 years ago. And no one knew what was wrong with me. And I remember coming to your surgery and you're scratching your head and you said, "You're all right, aren't you?" And I said, "I kept getting fluid in the lung." And I said, "Yeah, I think I'm okay now." And he said to me, "Well, mate, sometimes," he said, "this is an imperfect science. I don't know what was wrong with you, but it's gone. Let's hope it doesn't come back."
We'll give it a go. Look, I just wanted to thank you, Ray. Honestly, it was very, very extremely short notice. I saw it in the paper. And I knew it would make a huge difference. And at our debrief on the Saturday with the CEO of the hospital and everyone, they thanked us for coming and explained what they learned. But their highlight was the visit by the rugby league team. Oh. It's like a religion up there. It was made an amazing difference.
National sport. So, well, mate, you know the deal. You want anything, you give us a yell. We'll do it for you. If people want to donate, I guess there's Facebook pages, Operation Hope and Heart and the like, where they can go and make a donation to try and help you do your excellent work along with your colleagues. And whenever I can help in the future, whether it's a footballer or anything else, we'll do whatever we can for you
If they look up Open Heart International on the web, there's a web page. It's got it all there. You know, my cousin Jenny Harris, she's in Park. She listens to you religiously as well, and she told me you were talking about me the other day. It was a little bit embarrassing.
Is this the cousin who's in the bush somewhere and I got a photo of you at a wedding? Is that her?
That's her. That's her, yeah.
She's a great girl.
I spent a lot of my childhood years out there, and it's really taught me the sense of community and friendship and that kind of thing, and what you can achieve when you've got that. It's amazing. Yeah. So,
all right. Open Heart International place. You're a good man. Let you get back to work. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Thanks very much, Ray.
Give us a yell. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, bye.
Dr. Ed Nicholson. He is a miracle worker, I'm telling you. You talk about Australians of the Year, fair dinkum. He's an Australian of the Year, not just one year, every year. And I got a note from a dad, a very proud dad. His daughter, whom I'd met at a hospital at some stage in the past, is one of the theatre nurses that goes. There's a plumber out there somewhere. I don't know who the bloody hell the plumber is. The electrician out there somewhere. He goes with them to sort out any technical problems they have. And either of us go there. You know, and then they go to PNG and these wonderful young doctors up there are trained by this miracle worker to perform. And you're talking about performing surgery on the tiniest little heart in the tiniest little baby. I mean, the tiniest, tiniest little heart and the tiniest little baby. And he saves their lives. And it just makes you feel good. And, I mean, I only met him through... I came back from London in 2012. I was crook. I had an extended period off. I kept getting fluid on the lungs and I thought I had cancer. I thought I had this, thought I had that. And I was in a pretty bad way for a long while. Then he and two other specialists got hold of me. They thought I'd caught something on the plane or I'd caught something in London. And anyway, in the end, it disappeared and I got better. And he was very honest with me. He said, "Sometimes, mate," he said, "things happen and we don't know why they happen. But you're all right now. Let's hope it doesn't come back." And touch wood, it hasn't come back, whatever it was.